Very glad to invite you to turn either in your Psalter or in your Bible to Psalm 138. I'll be reading Psalm 138 and then giving a brief meditation, some words of explanation, so that as we sing this psalm this month, we would sing it with understanding. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Psalm 138 is a psalm that has to do especially with the public worship of God, coming together to praise and to worship our Lord. In the flow of the Psalter, it has a striking place. Paul is right on the heels of a psalm that we meditated on last month that had to do with God's judgment against wickedness. And if you were like me, and you might ask the question, well, if God judges the wicked, that prospect might leave you terrified. You might say, who am I to come into the presence of the Lord? How can I have any hope of heaven? But then Psalm 138 immediately follows with a declaration of God's mercy. And it's in that mercy that we are drawn in the presence of the Lord to worship Him. I'm going to start at the end of the psalm because that's what highlights the mercy of the Lord. I'm going to work a little bit backwards in my explanation so that you can see this important aspect of our worship. If you look at verses 6 through 8, that portion emphasizes the truth of God's mercy. It says that though God is high and lifted up, that He still shows mercy to the lowly or to those who repent. That mercy, it says, revives the soul of the sinner. It saves us from destruction. It perfects us. That word means to complete us. If you think of the progress of the Christian life, you might think of a race that you're running. And you don't run it perfectly as a sinner justified by Jesus Christ, but you do come to a point of completion, a point where the race is ended, and God receives you into His presence because of His mercy. Verses 4 and 5, again working backwards, anticipate that others will know that mercy too. Even kings of the earth shall praise you, says David. And that certainly is our hope, that the Lord would be merciful to us and to others around us. And as we sing about worship, our desire is that others would be drawn into that. Those that are great and those who are small, that they would be drawn by the power of Christ. So then let's look at verses 1 through 3 that describe worship. There are several phrases here that are easy to understand and that communicate our passion in worship. It starts off by saying, I will praise you with my whole heart. There's that concept of hallelujah again, the idea of all of our being expressed in worship to God. It says, I will worship toward your holy temple. And by referring to the temple, David has in mind the public worship of God. It is good and right for you to meet with the Lord in private devotions and in private worship, But what David is talking about here is the goodness of the people of God coming together to worship Him. And that's signified by bowing towards the holy temple. And that's an important aspect because you'll find today that there are many people that turn away from public worship in disdain. Or that they turn away from the church itself and they show disregard to the church. And they give all the emphasis to a private expression of spirituality. And they say, well, I'm a religious person. I just don't do the church thing. But the Bible will have none of that. And David lifts up the public worship and the institution of the church as belonging to the Lord and being a good thing. And David gives reasons for worship. God hears and answers when we cry out to Him in verse 3. And in verse 2, God has revealed His loving kindness and truth. In fact, it says that He has magnified His word above His name. What that implies is that there's a revelation of God's existence that is known in the created order, but God has revealed Himself through His word specifically so that you can know salvation, so that you can repent of your sins and come to Christ. Then verse 1 also has a phrase that's hard to understand. And I've saved that to last because it is important that I explain it, but it's also important because of what it refers to. Verse 1 says, "Before the gods, I will sing praises to you." The question is, just who are these gods that David is referring to? There are two possibilities, and those possibilities fit grammatically and they fit interpretively. There are good reasons that commentators have suggested these two possibilities. The first possibility is that the word gods refers to rulers of the earth. And the Hebrew word that's used is sometimes used to refer to other rulers or judges. If that's the interpretation that we would take in this case, then it would mean that David is not ashamed to worship God publicly. He's not one who says, well, privately I'm a Christian, but publicly I don't want that to influence the way that I rule or the way that I interact with other people. No, David is not ashamed to publicly go to church, as it were. We would say that today. He's not afraid or ashamed to be publicly identified with Jesus Christ. And that is a good interpretation, but I actually favor the second interpretation, and that is that the word God refers to the angels in heaven. And again, it's an appropriate interpretation. It's used elsewhere. That word is used elsewhere to refer to angels. And if that's the case, then David is referring to the spiritual nature of public worship. And I want you to get an idea of that today and to think of it as you sing this psalm throughout the month. It means that when you come to public worship, that you come to take part of something more than what you can see with your physical eyes. There's something more going on right here and right now. Because worship has a spiritual character to it. That means that with your physical eyes, you come and you look and you say, we're in a gym. And I can see my friends here around me. And that's all there is. But it isn't all there is. Jesus in the New Testament describes worship as being in spirit and in truth. And in worship, Christ Himself draws you before the throne of God in heaven. He gave a glimpse of that to the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 4. It's a glimpse of worship. And that is what you and I participate in every week when we come to worship. We join together with the mighty angels, with the spirits of just men and women who have gone before us, who are gathered around the throne of God, and who live there forever, praising Him, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." And it's that sense of worship that I want you to have from Psalm 138. That Christ draws you into that heavenly throne room in worship. Let that give voice then to your worship. "I will praise You with my whole heart." Give a voice to that anticipation that others would join in to worship. And that appreciation that you have for the mercy that you have received that saves you. Well, let's sing that. So let's sing Psalm 138. We're going to be using selection B throughout the month. Praising God for our mercy and worshiping Him in His holy place. Through the blood of Christ, we are drawn into heaven itself in our worship. Let's stand and sing Psalm 138b.